It's in the midnights of our lives, as we're praying and communion with God, that many times He will do the greatest work in your life.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey there, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Our prayer today is that God is going to use this program in a mighty way in your life. And so let's take our Bibles together right now. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16, looking at verses 16 through 34, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Your Pain Has Purpose.
Now here is their response as we launch into this thought, as I want you to think in your mind's eye right now. Whatever pain you're going through today, your prison of pain has purpose. 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Wow. I don't know if we've been tracking these first few minutes on the context, but if I'm transparent before you today, if I'm in Paul's shoes and I just went through what he went through, that I'm in the center of God's will, I'm praying, now I'm being falsely accused. Oh, by the way, I'm being beaten. I'm being drug away. My clothes are being torn off. Now I'm in a prison, not just a prison, the inner part of the prison. My feet are in stocks. I'm in great pain. And what is his response? His response is to press further into the one who gave him eternal life. They're praying. They're communing. That prayer literally means this when you study that utterance. Again, this is not like these prayers so many times that I'm guilty of that aren't heartfelt. These aren't prayers per se that, you know, hey, it's just for show. No, these are prayers I believe that Paul, he's in, and Silas, they're in their prison. And they're realizing that their prison has purpose. They realize that their pain has purpose, that they're not willing to waste their prison. They're not willing to waste their pain. They understand that their purpose is greater than their pain. They understand that God's purpose is always greater and supersedes whatever our flesh craves. And you see that right here, because their response is that at midnight. What do we typically do at midnight? Well, if you're a Christ follower, prayerfully, you're not out on the town partying, right? Amen? But at midnight, we're typically asleep, aren't we? Some of the most challenging nights of this journey and being a Christ follower come at midnight. The darkness of the night. The dark night of the soul, so to speak. Where there's despair, where there's questioning, where there's emptiness, where there's fear, where you're just not really sure. Forget how you're going to make it on Monday. How am I going to make it through the night? That something about the darkness, when it's eerily quiet, that it's just you communing with God and the ceiling fan. And you literally are just wondering, what is going on in my world? That the bottom has completely fallen out. It's in the midnights of our lives, as we're praying and communing with God, that many times He will do the greatest work in your life. You want to talk about ministering to someone else? You know how we minister the best, I've learned? I minister the best not when I'm on the mountain, but when I'm in the valley. That when I'm able to minister out of pain, man, it's real. It's like genuine, isn't it? I mean, there's no pretense. There's no, hey, I got to say this to impress. No, it's just like, this is so raw. This is so real. But my God is greater. Man, some of the most precious times of your life are in the prisons that God allows you to go into. That He graciously grants you, that He caresses, that unmerited favor, that He goes, man, you're my child and I love you so much, I'm actually going to grace you. I'm going to caress you with this opportunity to suffer for my namesake. It's at midnight. And the midnights of our lives can be some of the most beautiful nights of our lives. Before the dawn of the new day, you have to go through midnight. Have you ever thought about that? Until you can get to morning, until you can get to the next day, the dawn of the new day, you have to go through midnight. And here's the great news, that for the great God of the Bible, the day is coming. The new dawn of the day is going to be here. And as you're laying there in that bed at night wondering, why is this going on? Why the struggle financially? Why the situation with the children? Why the challenges with the marriage? Why the discord and the brokenness at work? Or whatever your challenge is, and you're there at midnight and you're crying out to the great God of the Bible, oh, you can press into Him at midnight, that even though you're going through a prison of pain, that your prison has purpose. And yet it's so hard in our flesh. A.W. Pink said this, listen closely. So long as we are occupied with any other object than God Himself, there will be neither rest for the heart nor peace for the mind. But when we receive all that enters our lives as from His hand, then no matter what may be our circumstances or surroundings, whether in a hovel or a prison dungeon or at a martyr's stake, we shall be enabled to say, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Psalm 16:6. But that is the language of faith, not of sight, nor of sense. Would you want some good news today? I love good news. I don't know about you guys. I love good news. I hope for good news. Amen? Here's some great news. If the gospel was not real, if it did not have the power to transform hearts, then why Satan and his posse is so determined to create lies in your life, to give you heartache and pain for those who spread this gospel? It's because that very reason. That's great news. Man, the gospel has power. The gospel will take your prison today, your pain today, and it may not alleviate it on this side of heaven, but I can assure us all this, when we get to heaven, it's going to be all gone. Therefore, what does the gospel do? Well, it does many things in our lives. Obviously, number one, it saves us. It raptures us from the wrath of God's. A condemnation that nothing in this life will ever escape other than and only by the blood of Jesus. That's first and foremost. But we understand this, the gospel has power. The gospel has power to get you through your prison today and to give you a new lens, a new focus, a new perspective that says, I don't like this prison I'm in. It's not what I chose to be in, but I know God sovereignly allowed it to slip through His hands into my life. Therefore, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live with purpose in the midst of my prison. You talk about speaking volumes to your neighbors and coworkers. You talk about preaching a sermon to your neighbors and coworkers. When they receive and see how you and I react during the prisons of life, and that we stay God's course, even when God doesn't go our way, that's going to speak volumes into their life how great our God really is in our life. See, it's midnight. What are they doing? They're praying and they're singing. They're communing with God. Because the key is this, during the prisons of life, it's not only important on how to respond, but who the response is directed to. I mean, everyone can praise God when things are going well, amen? I mean, things are going well in your life and my life. Man, it's easy to go, man, God is good. Man, I'm blessed. Now, I'll tell you what. If you're in Jesus Christ today, do you know this? If you are in Jesus Christ today, you are blessed regardless of your circumstances. You're not blessed because your circumstances are what you want them to be. You're blessed because Jesus redeemed you. And yet, what do? Myself included. We look at our blessed meter many times in the morning, and I mean, if God's going our way, we're blessed. But if he's not doing what we want to, we kick him in the shins. No, we're blessed regardless of what he allows in our lives. And therefore, we can and should go live a life that shows a lost and dying world that the blessing is not based on your circumstances. The blessing is based on his blood. So critical to understand, because our finite human minds, man, this is a subject matter that does not come easily for any of us. It's a struggle when God doesn't go our way to still stay, not just with him, but to run hard after him and to run hard for him. But once we get over that hump and we realize this, that the blessing is not about circumstances, the blessing is about obedience and faithfulness in the midst of the circumstances, man, I'm telling you what, man, your life's going to be turned upside down. People are going to be around you going, what happened to you? Well, what got into you? I'm so used to, man, when God doesn't do what you want, man, there's a hissy fit going on. But, man, you know, God's not going your way in this. And, man, you're running hard and you're joyful and you're praising God and you're trusting him and you're walking by faith. And, man, I want that. And isn't that the whole point? That they would see in me and see in you such a tenacious, unwavering faith. That when God doesn't go our way, we still go his way. And they ultimately look at my life and your life and say, I want in on that. See, they're praying, they're communing, they're pressing into God in the midst of their prison. Write these verses down, very key supporting verses you're going to need this week. So write these down. James 1, 2 through 4. Probably most of you have this memorized, but write it down anyway. I'm going to read it. And let's write that on the tablet of our heart today. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, here it is, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. It's got to complete itself in our lives that you may be perfect, here it is, and complete, lacking nothing. Count it all joy. That's what Paul and Silas were doing. Praying, slave girl, falsely accused, beaten, clothes torn off, drug away, prison, inner prison, stocks hurting my feet. Oh, God, you're great. You talk about a billboard to a world that's looking for something to dull the pain and fill the void. They may not agree with you, but we will certainly have their attention, won't we?
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Count it all joy. Count it all joy today in your prison. Why? Because your prison today, your prison of pain, has purpose in your life. That God is working. that the affliction you have today, 2 Corinthians tells us that it's brief, it's momentary. I know it doesn't seem like it. I get it. I mean, I know when I'm in the middle of it, it seems like it's going on for eternity, but it's brief compared to eternity. That we know it's light. That we know that compared to eternity, that whatever you're dealing with today is light. And furthermore, thirdly, we know this, that it's working behind the scenes, an eternal weight of glory. Oh, today your prison of pain has purpose. Don't waste it. God can use it for His glory today. Second verse is this, Psalm 71:14. Psalm 71:14. Listen closely to God's word. But I will hope continually. There's not an end to this hope. I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. The psalmist is writing. We know about the psalms, don't we? So many of the psalms are about heartache and pain, just crying out to God. And here the psalmist is writing saying, I will hope continually. Here it is. We don't hope, as the Bible says, for what we see. We're hoping for what we do not see. We don't see God. We don't see Jesus, but we know He's real. Amen. And we know He's so real that it gives us a hope. It gives us a confidence. It gives us a faith that we know that even though we don't see it, we not only believe it, but we will stand for it. We'll not only stand for it, we will die for it. We will declare it. We will love for it. We will love well for it. We will do whatever we need to do so the gospel goes forth. Amen. And lastly, in that section, Micah 7:8. Micah 7:8. Love this verse. We don't hear this quoted very often. This is a great verse. Micah 7:8. Listen closely to the word of God. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy, when I fall. Because when I fall, I will rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Amen. Wow. I need that verse. Man, in the darkness of your night, in the prison and the darkness of your night, understand this, that when you're in the center of God's will, that when you fall, so to speak, oh, you're going to rise. That the Lord will be a light to you. That He will guide you. That literally His word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. True bondservants do not confuse the flow charts regarding the master-bond-slave relationship. It's God who's the master, and we're the willing slave. Amen? And our response to the prison and pain is critical regarding what happens next in your life. You ever thought about that? That's something that God stirred in my heart this week. As I'm going through the prison of pain in my life, and you're going through the prison of pain in your life, our response to the current prison of pain is a huge, huge pivotal moment in our lives of what's going to happen next in this process. It's kind of like if you're a parent or even a grandparent and you have a child or a grandchild and you love them so much that you're chastening, you're disciplining them, you're trying to guide them in the ways of the Lord or whatever you're doing in your household and you're training them and you're showing them the way to go. And yet so many times as children, we do what? We rebel, don't we? We rebel. And so today, maybe if your prison is caused by rebellion, maybe you're not in the center of God's will, and maybe God is chastening because He loves you, which, by the way, that's a great sign, isn't it? I mean, if you're rebelling today and God's like, hey, you know what? I don't need to chasten you anymore. No worries on you. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. I mean, count it all joy because, man, He's chastening you. Man, His hand's upon you. He loves you. Amen. And so here it is as He's chastening so many times what we do, whether we're in His will or out of His will, when we're in the prison of pain, how we respond, what we do next is going to be very pivotal on what happens next in the process of your life. So many times God does not move us to point B because we have not been obedient in point A. And so many times we'll hang out on point A a lifetime. Because we're bargaining with God, we're jockeying with God, we're saying, God, you know, here's what I want to do, and here's my plan, here's my agenda, and God's going, no, but I want to do this in your life, and you're holding on too tightly to what you want to do. Look, if you just let go and let me take over, I understand there's fear in the process, but I will lead you to a place that you could never imagine the joy and contentment that you will have if you will just release the fear that you're holding on to. And so what we do next dictates what happens next in this process. The level of your trust and your praise during the prisons of life will be a direct reflection of how great you believe God to be. That's what I learned from this text, studying this. I mean, you look at Paul and you look at Silas, it's a direct reflection of how great they believe God really is. Man, they're trusting. They're going to look, hey, we're in a prison. I'm pretty confident they're not going, hey, man, this is cool. I'm pretty confident they're going, man, I couldn't wait to get here. I was hoping we'd be in prison. But I am confident about this, that even though this is not what they signed up for, to be in prison, they signed up to be a Christ follower. And wherever God leads them, they're going to follow. And they're going to rejoice even in the midst of the storm. Last part of this text as we bring this all to a conclusion. Listen to this in context. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, don't miss this. Don't underestimate who's listening to you in your prison of pain. Don't underestimate who's listening, who's watching, who's observing what you're going through today. That again, your prison of pain has a greater purpose than even you and I many times understand. We see that right here in Scripture, don't we? I mean, let's just kind of think through this very logically from what we've read this morning. Okay, I'm going to break this down one more time to make sure we understand this, because I want to make sure that you go out today as you face the day, as you face your prison of pain, that you can say, you know what? My prison of pain has purpose. So here's Paul and Silas, and they've prayed. They're in God's will. They are seeking Him. Slave girl comes on the scene. False accusation. Now there's repercussions for false accusations, which are obviously not true. They're not only imprisoned and in stocks, but they're beaten. Their clothes are torn off. They're drug away. They're now at midnight. Yeah, even in a prison, typically prisoners sleep. But at midnight, they are singing and praising God. And the prisoners are in tune and listening. You know these prisoners by now have gotten word either from Paul or Silas or even those that are around the jailhouse of why they're in prison. So we can assume this, I believe safely, that those people listening have a pretty good idea on why these two guys are in there. And they're thinking, okay, you've sold out to this God. You've done nothing wrong. You've been beaten, drug away, and you're in pain right now physically, and you are praising God and praying to Him? The power of your pain not only has purpose, but the power of your pain can lead people to Jesus. You say, how is that so? Look at the jailer. The jailer realizes that the earthquake happens and what goes on here. Suddenly, the great earthquake in 26, the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Now picture that for a moment. This is an earthquake and you got chains on. You talk about a supernatural event. When an earthquake happens, it shakes things. I've never heard of an earthquake actually shaking off handcuffs of chains of prisoners. I've heard of earthquakes destroying buildings and shaking foundations, but to shake in such a way that the actual handcuffs are loosened from the prisoners is an act of God. And what are Paul and Silas doing? We're still here. We're not going anywhere. Do you know why they're not going anywhere? Because they understand that their prison of pain has a greater purpose. But they're like, no. We got work to accomplish on behalf of the gospel right here in the midst of our prison. If they are not praying in verse 16 and the demonic girl does not come onto the scene, they're not in prison. If they're not in prison, they're not praising. If they're not praising, they're not in handcuffs. And if they're not in handcuffs, the great miraculous earthquake does not release their chains, and therefore ultimately the jailer and his household do not get saved. Now, I get the argument and I agree with it. Can God somehow still save them? And all God's people said amen, right? But in this instance, are we seeing this? They're in a prison of pain, and the purpose is greater than what they want to do or where they want to go, because God's going to use them for such a time as this to be used so the jailer and his family get saved. That's awesome, isn't it? I don't know about you, but man, you're going through a prison of pain today. Wouldn't it be awesome that you can look back on this days, weeks, months, years later and go, man, I'm so glad I stayed in my prison of pain because so-and-so came to know the Lord because of what they saw the Lord doing within my life. See, that's the point behind this text. Therefore, there's three keys. There is always an audience watching how you will react in your prison. Always. Number one. Number two, God's plan to use your prison to show off His glory and His praise is not just for you, but for the audience around you. And three, if we believe that our prisons are sovereignly orchestrated by God, how will we know about our prisons unless we intimately know about our God? Your prison today may be a spiritual springboard that God uses to show off His glory tomorrow. The faithfulness and obedience during your prisons of your life will reveal God's glory and God's saving power to those around you. This may be the greatest sermon you ever preach with your life.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.